Great to be joined by Jason Smith now, a congressman from Salem. And you are, I catch up with him, in fact, here at Central High School. We're going to talk about that first, but a lot of different activities when you visit the district this time. You just came out from doing an official presentation of a nomination certificate for Maddie Mannion, a Central High School. She'll be a grad soon, but she'll be attending the Air Force Academy. And she kind of follows in her footsteps, in the footsteps of her brother Luke, who is in attendance at the West Point Academy in New York. So quite a family. And you were telling me that's actually not that uncommon in your district to have that kind of run in the family.
This is actually the third set of siblings that we've nominated. And they're the best of the brightest. And I guess that they see one sibling get nominated, get accepted, and see how much they enjoyed and how great of an honor it is. And they work tirelessly. I can remember a couple years ago, Madison was like, I want this. And she's done everything to be there, doing an incredible job. Her brother, of course, is at West Point. She's going to be at the Air Force Academy. I like those rivalries that siblings have. All of the siblings that we have nominated, none of them have went to the same schools. They're at competing schools, whether it's Army versus Navy or Air Force versus Army. But Maddie is the only person in our congressional district out of 750,000 that will be going to the Air Force Academy that was appointed through us, which is a huge honor. It's the second in 2 years right here from Central. She has incredible academics. She's very involved in athletics. She's a well-rounded girl, and we're so proud to nominate her.
Which of the academies is most difficult to get accepted into?
They're all equal, whether it's Navy, Air Force, or West Point. We visited all three last year. I wanted to wait until every class of young men and women that I've nominated were there. We've nominated a lot from your listening area, whether it's in Jefferson County or St. John, Perry County, St. Francis, some really talented young men and women that represent our area, and they represent all 30 counties.
You have something in common with her, I heard. She wants to learn to fly. You are actually learning to fly now. Are you going to get your pilot's license?
I'm hoping to get my private pilot's license. Okay. It's taking some time. It was always a goal when I graduated high school. Of course, that's 20 years ago now, but working towards it. So it will be an adventure. Have over 20 hours of flight instruction. Okay. So she's probably going to be better than me, but I at least want to say I've done it.
Well, I know you've flown on Air Force One. Maybe someday, Maddie, you'll be she'll be flying Air Force One. We don't know.
She could be flying Air Force One. It's definitely a lot of the young men and women who are in the Air Force that keep that plane afloat.
You came from Potosi this morning. You were there in representation of some federal funds that went to Potosi to improve their natural gas lines there.
It's incredible of the investment that you can see of federal dollars, how it's helping an industrial park. We got over $1.7 million that came in through the Commerce Department and $209,000 that came from Delta Regional Authority to help with the infrastructure and the gas lines there. That's going to bring about $10 million of investment from private industry and help retain and help create more than 60 jobs. So that's very, very helpful. We were at some of the businesses and to see how that they have a lot of promise to grow there in Potosi and some of the struggles that they have, such as infrastructure, just period, with our highways and our roads and bridges and broadband, ways that we can help improve still in the future.
You'll have quite a bit in common with the next group that you'll visit today too, FFA Week, and that's something that you know something about.
It is National FFA Week. We're pretty excited. We're going down to Fredericktown from here to speak to the students. You know, I was one of those young men and women that wore the blue and gold corduroy. In fact, it still hangs in my office in Washington, D.C. from when I was the chapter president at Salem. But 20 years ago this year, I got the American Farm degree, something I hold very close and dear. The items, the talents, the leadership skills, the character that was built while I was in FFA changed my life. I can remember as a freshman, I couldn't stand in front of a group of my classmates to do the FFA creed,
really?
The five paragraphs. I had to do it one paragraph at a time because I was too nervous, too scared. And that program literally transformed, I think, the direction that I've went in my life.
Wow, look at, yeah, and one of those look at where you are now type deals.
It's amazing.
You'll visit Poplar Bluff and Sykeston as well while you're touring your district. Back in Washington, President Trump declaring a national emergency to allocate funds for a border wall. And we had a program on this morning. They were talking about where that money comes from. If it hasn't been allocated by Congress, where does the money come from, Jason, when the president does declare a national emergency in something like this?
We've seen presidents shift money over times. It's not something that you like, but they do have the flexibility to shift the money. National emergencies have happened almost 60 times since the 1970s when it took an effect. We have over 30 national emergencies currently in effect and in law that are currently just ongoing. So it's not really that rare. The shifting of money is something that you always have concerns with, but with that being said, I believe it is a national emergency of what's going on the southern border and making sure we have a secure and a protected border. Congress in the funding package put $1.375 billion to help secure the border. It's clearly inadequate, and that's why the president is moving forward with more funds. So we'll see how this plays out. It's, as you see, 16 different attorney generals have filed suit as the president expressed when he was announcing the emergency. So before they get to that $3.6 billion that was dedicated in the national emergency, they still have to contract out and spend the first 1.4.
Okay. Are there any rules on where that shifting can occur from? Can it be taken from anywhere, or are there only certain areas where the president can take that from?
There's definitely different rules and procedures and guidelines for certain pockets of funding, but you're looking at the funding mechanisms of multiple trillions of the federal government. And so there's a lot of different pockets and pools of money where administrations have moved money from one pocket to another. It's been very common for decades. I personally would love to have more authority within the Article I constitutional authority to delegate where money and pockets are always situated. But with the banning of directed spending back in 2010, it gives more flexibility to the administration to push funds.
Okay. Now, so in to expand that authority, would that just take a simple bill, or would that take a constitutional amendment?
It'd require legislation, not a constitutional amendment, just legislation, because Congress has delegated that power over the years. And so now they're getting the fruits of what they've delegated.
Hey, thanks for the education.
It's always good to talk with you, Chad.
You too. Jason Smith joining us here at Central High School as he presents Maddie Mannion from Central High with a certificate on her nomination to the Air Force Academy.